Right behind.
For this morning is from Luke chapter 3, and we're reading about John the Baptist. Not John the Methodist, John the Baptist. But John the Baptist preparing the way. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Triconitis, and Lysanias Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Anna and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'll put my Bible right here. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. And so it is amazing how I remember the day before our smart media devices, before we depended on GPS, right? Do you remember opening up maps while you were driving and opening them, blocking the entire vision of where you were going? Yeah, they always have that in movies when the map like blows into someone's face. But now we have ways, and don't lie and say when it says it doesn't work because you're driving and you hit passenger. We'll have you be honest about that because you're supposed to get it all ready before you go. But I remember distinctly when I gave in to following the app Waze, and it took me down roads I had never. I grew up in the area. My attitude was, I knew all the shortcuts. How dare you tell me, right? How to go this way or that way. And slowly, though, I like, oh, app Waze was right. Waze was. If I can save a couple minutes, then you literally we're praising God. But I remember my stubborn streak came in, like there were times I did not trust and I went my own way. And when I read the scripture today, I think that John the Baptist is like the Waze app. He's saying, prepare the way of the Lord. And we're saying, we don't like that way. We don't like to say, I'm sorry. We don't like to confess our sins or repent. Repent means turn from sin and back to God. It means you've missed your mark and you've got to re-aim. And many of us like to shoot the arrow and it lands. And then we paint a bullseye around it. We say, yeah. That's not how it works, right? We have to say, it's beautiful to see the prophet Isaiah's fulfillment of the scripture through John the Baptist, where it's a landscape. It's a landscape that we know that in those days when a king was coming, literally they would for months prepare. They know the king's coming and they would make the rough ways smooth so that the king had an easy way of getting to the town or the city or the area. They prettied everything up, but they made it so that it was an easy access. If the roads were crooked, they straightened them out. If there were mountains, they brought them down. The valleys, they brought them up. They made the rough ways smooth. And everybody knew that. John the Baptist knew that. But John the Baptist talked about your heart. The landscape of your heart. What are the things that need to be straightened out so that God can get to your heart? That it can be easier for God to make a home in your heart. God doesn't kick down the door. You have to say, I want you to be in here. I want you to change the landscape of my heart. And so we're looking at the scripture, and it's a little unsettling because John the Baptist cuts right to the chase, right? And it's the amazing thing is everybody comes from all around, all the whole area. getting out to the desert's not easy, but I know part of them were saying, let's go see the crazy man who eats, you know, locusts and wears camel hair. When I was young, I always thought, that probably was itchy. And he ate wild honey and locusts, but he preached the word of God. He preached with authority so much so that people knew it and they wanted it, they desired it, and they went out there. Because they really, underneath it all, we all want to have God come and heal us and bring to us a peace that we can't have on our own. And so today I want you to think about how important it is to remove the roadblocks, the barriers that keep God from getting to our hearts. And the lack of humility is something that can spread just like the gospel of Jesus. When you're not humble, you don't get what God has to offer. All the things around the Christ candle come when we are humble and we admit and we submit to God. And the lack of humility when we're arrogant and self-sufficient, self-centered, those are barriers, things that have to be removed for God to come to us. I like the man who said once, I thought I was wrong once, but it turned out I was incorrect. And a lot of people do everything and anything except say, I'm sorry. It's not an easy thing to admit that you were wrong. But how beautiful it is when you earnestly go to someone and you say, you know, I was wrong. Please forgive me. There's a man in our prayer group that is reconciled with his daughter. They were at loggerheads. He brought that to prayer group and he said, you know, I don't like this. What should I do? And someone in our group said, just go to her and say, generally, I'm sorry. Don't try to defend yourself or be self-righteous or preach to her. Just say, I'm sorry. And that person did it with God's help, and now they have a relationship they're working on. Can I hear an amen? It would not have happened if this person wasn't open to the message of Jesus Christ. I was driving back from Cape Cod really early on Friday morning, Max and I, and it was a nice glistening, crystallized glaze of ice. It was above freezing, but it was really, you know, you get on the road and you just feel these tires are not working. Something's up, and you slow down. And it probably five different accidents kept us from getting to Westboro quickly because we'd drive along and then there's an 18-wheeler that's right across the whole road. There's a police officer saying, you cannot go this way. And everybody had to be detoured and diverted. And it makes me think about all the things that are within our hearts that we need to remove and ask God to remove so God's grace can come. You ever drive on the Mass Pike and we enjoy this beautiful road that was built so many years ago? You ever notice that you're driving along and you can see a whole sheer cliff that you know this rock, this granite, and you see where they drilled down and put down the explosives and they exploded the rock. They blew away the rock so this road could make a way, and they could think of us travelers down the years to make the way easier, smoother. That was a lot of work to do that, and it made me think about what's in our hearts that needs to come down and be broken away so that a way could be prepared. We have to repent of our sin to experience that awesome grace of Jesus Christ. And the Bible is very clear. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He gives us more grace. That's from James 4, chapter 4, verse 6. And it makes me think about these four clergy. It's a funny story. Four clergy that are arguing over theology, about the theology of being saved by grace and grace alone from Ephesians 3. And there were three male clergy against this one female clergy. And three male clergy were preaching that you're saved by works. And the woman was saying, you're saved by grace and grace alone, faith in God's grace. And then she was exasperated, and she, you know, the stubbornness of the three men, she said, "Lord, give me a sign. Give them a sign that they know that this theology of grace is what it's all about." And all of a sudden there's a big lightning strike and shook them all up. And the three men said, "No, that's just explained away by natural causes." And so she said, "Please, Lord, give us a..." And then another big lightning strike and some more thunder. And still they didn't believe. Until finally a voice from above looked down and just said, "She's right." And the three guys still were so stubborn, they said, "Well, okay, but that's still three against two." I tell you, it's stubbornness is one of the big impediments. And don't tell me you don't have a stubborn streak. You do. I do. It's called our sinful nature. I know there's a mug I've seen somewhere that says, "I'm not stubborn. My way is just better." But stubbornness does not get you there, does not get God here. Bible, 1 Peter 5 says, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." In Philippians, Paul writes, "Have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, who humbled himself as a servant." It's not easy to be humble. Now, you know, I want to thank you for praying for my brother, because he fell off my mother's roof. If you didn't hear that news, I thank you for all your prayers and your love and signing these cards. My brother's 63 years old. He's 8 years older than me, and he's always been my hero, and he's always been self-sufficient. He's never, ever needed anyone until this past week, where he came crashing down, literally breaking his entire body, but he's going to be okay. His neck, his head's all right, but it was a little humbling for him to have his little brother feed him ice chips and have him depend on me for water. And thank God for those little bendable straws. Whoever invented those little straws, somebody down the line said, "Let's just put these little perforated..." Literally, you know, it's kind of funny because I kind of moved the straw a little bit and he was just trying to find the water. I had to do it. It was like... But totally dependent on the nurses and the doctors and all the care. And you could see, and you know how this happens when you age in general in your body, and you feel it in the morning, you have pains and aches and pain. And I know there are multiple people right now that they're just facing things that they live with every single day. That's humbling, isn't it? I used to be able to do this, now I can't. My brother probably never will ever go up on a ladder on a roof again. That's what happened. He was doing the roof and he fell. It's humbling, isn't it? Many things, if we don't humble ourselves, God will humble us. But you know what? I don't want to die a stubborn person. People I respect and love are the ones that allow the Holy Spirit to soften their cold, hard hearts. It's what we preach. Try it your way and see what happens. Try it God's way, amen, and see what happens. I've seen it both ways. God's way is so much more better. So divine when it comes to relationships. You know, I love the saying, "It's my way or the highway." And God says, "My way is the highway. It's the better way. It's the high road." And the people knew that when they came out to hear John preach. You would think it's a message, a hard message of "you're sinners and you need to repent." No, it's a message that when you repent and you ask for forgiveness, you make a way for God's love to come in. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Our hearts are drawn to God. You know, tonight we're going to, as I said, we're going to sing to Dot Zwicker. She's 101 years old. And just being with her, I feel better. She's probably the happiest person I know. Always ready to laugh. Her face just shows that she smiles every day. And she would give God the glory because she's got a humble heart. And I guess you don't live to 101 without learning about your own mortality, right? And you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You don't know if tomorrow's going to be your last day. She thinks that. She's okay with it. And yet we don't think it at our age, but we should, because she doesn't waste a second. But we'll sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let all the earth rejoice. What is it? I'm losing it. I'm going to start over. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. You sung that 1,000 times with me. Said, let every heart prepare him room. You get to decide. Are you going to prepare a way in your heart for God or not? Every day you get to decide that. I don't want you to be afraid of confessing your sins. It's time to give in. It's time to surrender. I read an article this week called A Crisis of Meaning. Underneath all of those who have taken their own lives, thousands after thousands after thousands. Never mind those who have been overwhelmed by drug addiction and other addictions and other paths that they think that maybe it'll bring something that'll heal my broken heart, and it doesn't happen. It's not complicated, but it's not easy. Love's like that, right? And I'm asking you just to dive in. The water's fine, right? To just trust in God's grace. I want to lift up George Bush's funeral this week. It was very touching. Leave your politics out of it for a second. I believe he was a man of faith. When he was shot down as a pilot in World War II, two crewmen didn't make it when he crashed. And he said he always thought, why was he alive? What was the reason that he was spared? What was God's plan for him? And I think it was beautiful that he had a humble spirit. He did say we needed to be a kinder, more gentle nation. You second that? Amen? Amen? And his son giving his eulogy, he said a couple funny things, but he said, I once heard it said of this man that the idea is to die young as late as possible. I thought it was good. The idea is to die young as late as possible. But he said, as my father aged, he taught us how to grow old with dignity, humor, and kindness. And when the good Lord finally called, how to meet him with courage and with joy and the promise of what lies ahead. And I read also later on that actually George Bush heard his own eulogy before he died. His son read it to him. I thought that was beautiful. Don't wait to tell people how you feel about it. He said about his dad, I think those brushes with death made him cherish the gift of life, and he vowed to live every day to the fullest. Jeb and I were too young to remember the pain and agony he and Mom felt when our three-year-old sister died. We only later learned that Dad, a man of quiet faith, prayed for her daily. He was sustained by the love of the Almighty and the real and enduring love of our mom. Dad always believed that one day he would hug his precious Robin again. Can I hear an amen? In the end, that was more important than him being president or anything else that he achieved in the world. But I know that those who are humble will be given grace. Arrogance is a terrible disease. It can catch anyone. We're sinful. That's our nature. But I ask you, how many preachers does it take to change a light bulb? Which is a good question after we changed our lights. How many preachers does it take to change a light bulb? Just one, but the light bulb's going to really want to change. I could be the best preacher in the world. I don't think I am. But if you don't come in wanting to change, you're not going to change. All the love is going to bounce off you. All the challenge, the word of God will just bounce off you. But people came to John the Baptist. They really wanted to change. They didn't want to live like they were living. Without that peace, without that grace, and the change has to happen inside. We all do all we can to bring about change in every other way possible other than repenting of our sin. Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, knew all about repentance. He was knocked down. He was made humble, blinded by the light, but he had it all. He was well-educated. He was wealthy. He had great status. He was a Roman citizen. He had everything this world had to offer, and the Lord just knocked him over, and then he became the greatest preacher ever for the Gentile world, and he experienced grace, and he heard Jesus say, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul said, "So when I'm weak, you are strong." And I know we have some weak people today, weak in the sense that you've tried it your own way. Today's a day to say, "Lord, I'm just going to be open." We had someone come to me this week. His name's Rick. His wife died of a drug overdose at the age of 37. It was last Sunday we had her memorial service right here. Her husband, Rick, her daughter, Ariana, were here. She's only 16. Both of them came back to church this week. They wanted to track me down and say they feel something. They feel peace. And Rick said to me, he said, Pastor John, you are a powerful man. He was laying all these compliments on him. I'm like, not me, it's God. And because you are open, Rick, to God's Holy Spirit, to know the saving grace of Jesus, you're feeling it, you're experiencing it. It's God. This is what God is called. This emotion that's coming over you. He said, "I just know I'm better. I'm more at peace. And I trust that Erica's with God. I don't know what this is, but I like it." Amen. He said, "I haven't felt this way in years." And his daughter was right there too. And there were tears. We all were crying. It's because our church opened up our church. And when we had the service, I looked out, and I don't think any one of them, not one, were churchgoers. But I said, "Welcome to First United Methodist Church. This is your home, a place where you can hear that you're loved, you're not alone, and that you can lay your sins down and trust in saving grace. Trust in that peace that passes understanding that we read about in Philippians 4. When you repent and believe in the good news, you are immersed in God's love. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And a wellspring bubbles up all the way to eternal life. And you can't get rid of your own arrogance and pride. Only Jesus can do that. Because there's nothing that you can do to deserve the great gift of salvation." You know, GPS, God's plan for salvation. Amen? Not global positioning system. John the Baptist, God's plan of salvation. And you can't get enough of it, can you? Once you hear the word of God and let it sink into you, John Wesley called it a sanctifying grace. You live in that understanding of God's love, and you want to be closer to Jesus. You don't just say yes once to Christ. You say yes again and again. You confess your sins every day. And you hear in John chapter 14, Jesus saying to comfort his disciples after he just said, you know, he served the Lord's Supper, he washed their feet, and he tells them he's going to go to Jerusalem and die, suffer and die, and rise again in 3 days. And they didn't hear "rise again." All they heard was he's going to die. And he says to them, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in me, trust in God. I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also." Jesus prepared the way by taking our sin to the cross. Amen? That's what makes the rough way smooth and the crooked straight and lays low the mountains of sin, lifts up the valleys of grace. And I pray that right now as we move to our prayer time, we have a lot of prayers to lift up, but we're not going to take any prayer requests today. Just know that God hears them, and prayer is the key. Now, this morning, I pray that you can trust God could take all of your shame, all of your regret, all of your mistakes, all of your inadequacies, whether it's within your marriage, with your kids, at work. Maybe it's something you did so long ago that you're afraid to look at it. But today's the day to just let your heart break open and accept God loves you. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we need to be changed. And we've tried it our way and it doesn't work. And we hear John the Baptist preach today. And Paul to the early church in Philippi. And that his prayer was that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight. Lord, we know that repentance means turning away from sin. It means changing our minds. And we want to change the way that we live. And that we would just be in prayer with you every day. And be still and know that you are God. Lord, we don't want to fall off a roof to have us just be humble. But today you humble us. Because you hold up the mirror. And we look in. And Lord, so many of us today, we just don't like what we see. But we thank you, God, that you still love us. And you desire us to be made whole. And come to know that peace that passes understanding. So Lord, we don't want to be self-sufficient. It doesn't work. So we confess our sins. And we thank you, God, that when we do, you call us to a new life, to live loving and giving lives. Help us be more grace-filled in our relationships, in our families, at work, with strangers, wherever we go. Help us carry the good news of Jesus. As we pray your prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.